presenting the original Frank Watanabe and the Honorable Archie. Honorable Archie was frustrated in an attempt to keep an appointment with Cleopatra Martin, the young lady he met at the racetrack. Disguised as a Cockney butler, Archie tried to elude the police who were watching for Cleopatra by wheeling out a large baby buggy containing Frank Watanabe dressed as a baby. The attempt failed when Watanabe's feet came through the bottom of the baby buggy and he was found to be walking in step with Archie, who was wheeling him. As we look in now, we find Watanabe just returning from a shopping errand.
Oh, so no good. Heaven take it. I'm getting worse. Honorable Arches, please.
Here I am, Frank. I'm here.
Where at, please?
I'm sitting just here by the fireplace, thinking.
Oh, so, yeah, I'm not to see, you know. Thank you. Oh, conglomerations. Oh,
something gone wrong.
Oh, yes, please. You see, just now, when I approaching back from shoppery, them police cop outside, he has to take my footprints and asking me very, very, very many questions.
Oh, I found that policeman. He actually had the impudence to stop you and question you. Nosy blighter.
Oh, confounded nosy blighter, all right. And he got rights to asking, he say, because he got a sensation that you have got a criminal in your harbor.
Criminal in my harbor? His insinuation was that I'm harboring a criminal. But I'm not, Frank.
But he say there's something fish about it, all right.
Oh, he's doing his duty, of course. He's been set to watch and follow me, hoping that I'll lead him to the young lady the police department is so anxious to find.
Oh, yes, Miss Martin. What?
Quiet, Frank. Don't mention the name Miss Martin. Remember, the very walls have ears.
Very walls having ears?
Yes, yes.
Oh, sounding pretty peculiar. Do you mean wallpaper can hear it?
No, it's just a saying.
Oh, who said that?
I don't remember.
I see. Oh, that's very interesting.
Well, don't get in the habit of mentioning the name of Miss Cleopatra Martin.
All right. Never focusing the name Cleopatra Martin. I'm going to rubbing it in my brain. Never say.
So
I rub. Oh, so. Never say. Never
All
say.
Right, sir. You rubbed it enough.
All right.
You see, Frank, the police don't know the name of the young lady. All they know is that she handed me a $50 bill to repay a loan. The note was part of the loot of a bank robbery.
Oh, yes. Yes, that's plenty, please. And I'm wondering if Miss Martin... I'm wondering if Miss Martin, no knowledge... that it were a robbery from a bank. I wonder if...
Oh, no, Frank, she didn't know it was stolen. That much she told me during our brief but sweet meeting here.
Yes, please, but do she telling you where she do receiving some $50 paper money, please?
No, Frank, she asked me not to ask her any questions but to trust her. And I do trust her implicitly.
All right. You know, Honorable Arches, it seems you not can falling in love to a girl which don't got a massy bunch of rigmarigery.
Nonsense.
Oh, no, please. What's matter? Oh, what's matter? What is matter, my dear romantic employment?
That's just it, Frank. It's the age-old romantic blood of my family which courses through my veins.
Oh, do.
We Chiselbys can't help it. We never could. Beauty in distress, particularly innocent beauty in distress, always arouses in a Chiselbury a pitch of frenzied action.
Is that so?
Yes.
Your complete family are that way?
Why, yes, Frank. You see, one of my ancestors, back in the 13th century, Baron Peregrine Chiselbury of Chichester, heard that Zubeda, beautiful daughter of Saladin the Turk, was imprisoned in a castle in the Austrian Tyrol.
Oh, heaven's sake!
So what did my ancestor, Baron Peregrine, do?
I don't know, please.
No, you don't know, but he assembled his knights in armor, his vassals. He girded on his own suit of armor, you see. He fitted out an expedition, and he set sail at once for Austria.
On horses, please?
Well, no, the expedition went to Arabia first to catch the horses.
Then what happened, please?
Well, they had beastly weather.
Oh.
They didn't get to the Austrian Tyrol for more than a year.
And the savings, the Turkey girl, the beautiful daughter of Salami.
Saladin.
Oh, so then they are living happy ever after.
We're nowhere near that yet, Frank.
Nowhere near what, please?
By the rescue. I'm coming to that. You see, it wasn't easy to rescue a girl in those days.
Oh, how do they did it?
Well, of course, first they had to find the right castle and the right maiden, you see?
Oh, yes, oh, yes.
I mean, the Austrian Tyrol was simply bunged up with castles and maidens waiting to be rescued.
Oh, Jerusalem, gee.
So they spent another year breezing from castle to castle, looking at the available maidens in distress.
Uh-huh.
And at last, when their forces were reduced to just my ancestor and one vassal,
yes,
they found Zubeda, laid siege to the castle, jousted with the guards, and carried the maiden off.
Oh, so jousted, you thought, so then they living happy ever after.
No, no, Frank, you see, once the girl was rescued, the excitement sort of died down, and Baron Peregrine didn't bother with her anymore.
Huh.
So the story goes, she married the vassal, they settled in Wessex, and went in for rearing wild boars.
Wild boars, is that pigs?
Yeah, well,
who done it? The vassal and them girl?
Yes. And my ancestor, Baron Peregrine, simply buzzed off to find another beautiful maiden who was languishing about, waiting to be rescued.
Oh, that's a beautiful story, Honorable Archer. Yes, please. And that reminded me about my ancestor, Sir Hapaholi Watanabe of Honolulu.
Oh.
Yes, he liked to rescuing maidens also, you know. So he taking a clump of canoes one night and galloped to the Fiji Island because a beautiful daughter need to be rescued, you know. And he brung a vassal alongside him also, and they got married ever after and raised fish. And that's all my ancestors caring about also. That's the way he are, you know.
Well, what way is he, huh?
Well, after he catching a fish, he forgetting all about it. Oh, fish, oh,
yes,
what?
I see. You know, Frank, you have an incurable habit of trying to keep up with the Joneses.
Keeping up to the Joneses?
I tell you a story of chivalry law, and you try to trumpet with a lot of Hawaiian balderdash.
Not the Hawaiian balderdash.
Hawaiian balderdash.
Oh, thank you. It's a completely a truthlessly story, please.
Yeah, that's what it is. It sounds like it. Why did I tell you all that to start with?
Well, it was to proving at me that when you rescuing Miss Martin, you going to forgetting she and start raising pigs.
Oh, my hat. The story was to give you a reason for my romantic disposition, handed down to me through countless centuries of chivalry.
Oh, so, then you're not genuine loving Miss Martin. It are just a old Chisabury custom?
Oh, no, this case is entirely different.
I don't know, please.
You do know, please. You're perfectly well aware that you've never seen me so deeply in love as I am with Miss Martin.
All right, we better go on that. But what are a vassal, please?
Well, a vassal. One might say that you're one. You're my vassal.
Oh, so. So that are the colored gentlemen in the pile of wood. Oh, just in case you're getting tired of Miss Martin after you rescue same, you wish me to marry C and she and raise fish.
Don't talk romantic nonsense. That's the stupidest thing, the most fantastic thing you ever said.
Oh, thank you. But what are the next movement, Honorable Archer?
I don't know, Frank. Not being able to meet her yesterday has left me quite up in the air. I don't know where she lives or how to communicate with her again, you see?
Yes, ma'am.
And she dare not telephone me because the wires may have been tapped, you see? Hang it, I don't know what to do.
Oh, hang it, all right. What shall we doing about your love affairs, please? I don't know.
Another dashed irritating thing was the walking in here of Mr. Hipwater and Mr. Scudder at the precise moment that I happened to be holding Miss Martin's sister's baby.
Yes, please. Why do she bring those baby here, please?
Well, she had to bring a baby to support her disguise as a nursemaid, you see, to get by the police.
Hi, yes, ma'am.
Frank, I shall never forget the look on the faces of Mr. Hipwater and Mr. Scudder when they saw me with that baby in my arms.
Oh, me too.
Mr. Hipwater lifted his bushy eyebrows and gave me a look of sanctimonious horror, while Mr. Scudder, humbug that he is, glared at me as though I was a blight on respectable society.
Oh, yes, and that bruising me to the roots of my knees. It hurt my pride very severe, Honorable Archers. But why are you not telling those gentlemen that the baby were not your fault?
I couldn't, because if I'd started to explain, I should have had to tell them who Miss Martin was. And that's the very thing I had to avoid, you see.
Oh, yes. But the oldish motto say, when you putting a little oil on the fire, it are more worse as no oil on the fire.
Yes, well, that doesn't help very much.
That not seem to help him much, Johnny Bratchett. No.
It's very obvious that so far as Mr. Hipwater and Mr. Scudder are concerned, that there is now a stigma attached to my name.
And the baby also.
The baby is the stigma, stupid.
Well, why don't you say I done it, please? I can taking the rap, as American gentlemen say.
Well, there's a silly ass idea, Frank. Why should I be sitting there beside a beautiful nursemaid holding your baby?
To commit goo-goo on same? My baby will admire goo-goo same as next fellow.
Well, I don't commit goo-goo on strange babies.
Oh,
But anyhow, I should like to have been at the Hipwater house when Mr. Hipwater arrived home and broke the news that I have a baby to his wife and his daughter, Miss Cynthia.
Me too, please.
Oh, bye.
They're coughing the doorbell. I must answer, you know. Perhaps it's all my cousin.
It might be a message from her, Frank. Be very careful, you know.
All right. Oh, so, Mr. Hipwater.
Yes, greetings, my little man. No doubt the Honorable Archibald is at home. Yes, he's home. I step in. Yes, Archibald. Ah, there you are, my good fellow.
Oh, hello, Hipwater.
Yes, hello, you know. Archie, may I be seated?
Yes, sit down. Go along.
Yes. There we are. Archie, day before yesterday when Scudder and I visited you and saw you with that baby in your arms, we were, sir. Yes, Archie, we were shocked and astounded, sir.
You struck me as being a little put out.
Yes, and when I left you, I went home and locked myself in my 7-car garage to think.
Why did you go in your garage to think?
Archie, I felt so ashamed for you that I did not have the courage to face my fair daughter, Cynthia, and my dear wife, my Dovekins,
whom you call your little pigeon, I know.
Yes, yes. Yes. I then said to myself, who am I to condemn Archie for his weak moment? The strong shall uplift the weak. And here I am, Archie boy, strong and ready to forgive you.
Oh, it's very sporting of you, Hipwater. Have you any idea what I've done?
Well, yes, yes, we know. Yes, I gathered my family to my side and told them what I had seen with my own eyes. I've seen you holding the baby. Yes, we all then dispersed and went into separate rooms to think it over. And in 45 minutes, we reassembled.
Oh, and what were your verdicts?
Well, my wife said, boys will be boys, and I'm quoting Archie. Yeah. Cynthia said, I again quote, that's Archie all over. And I said, a man is entitled to one wild oat.
You sort of stuck up for me, huh?
Yes, Archibald.
Oh, that's decent of you, isn't it?
Yes, Archie. To err is human, Archie, and to forgive is divine. And I'm divine. I forgive you, Archie.
Hipwater, I'm deeply touched.
Oh.
All right, Frank. Hipwater, I should be interested to know to what conclusion you've all jumped with regard to, let us say, my baby.
Well, Archie boy, it is obvious that you are married.
Oh, thanks.
And second, this marriage, you have realized, was a very grave mistake. You no doubt flew to Yuma, Las Vegas or Mexico, to marry this certain woman, and you had a baby. However, as I said, you have realized the marriage was a mistake, so you have been divorced, and now have custody of the child. That's what my Dovekins, my fair daughter, and I have decided.
Oh, splendid.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's what happened, Archie. Now then, Archie boy, here is the solution. Cover up this horrible mistake. Unite the Chiselberry title with the Hipplewater money. Marry my fair daughter, Cynthia. She will adopt your baby and call it quits. What do you think of that, Archie boy?
Why, it's a silly ass name for a baby.
Odd bargain.
I won't call it that either.
I mean.
Now look here, Hipwater. You've made a monumental donkey of yourself as usual. That baby is not mine. I'd never seen it before. I'm not married, never have been. So I couldn't have been divorced. So I didn't fly to Yuma, Las Vegas, or Mexico. But I'll tell you where you can fly to. As far as I'm concerned, you can fly
to...
Thanks, Frank. Yes, just open the front door.
Don't ask me to stay another moment. I go, but I report this matter to the Better Business Bureau.
Now the makers of Graco shirts and endlock ties want you to have one of their very useful and handsome tie racks for the wardroom. This rack can be fastened to a closet door or a shipper robe, and it keeps your ties in order. Now here's all you have to do to get a rack. Purchase a Graco endlock tie. Remove the paper band and send it together with 10 cents to Graco, care of this station. And one of these all-metal racks will be sent to you immediately.